Psalm 83. The name of the message is The Hidden Ones. The Hidden Ones. And the text is found in verse 3, but we're going to read two portions of the scripture here of this psalm. Psalm 83, The Hidden Ones. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being the nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. And in verses 6 to 11 speaks of all the nations that are confederate against Israel. So let's continue though from verse 12 to the end of the psalm. Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. These nations that were confederate against Israel said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, that wheel is the stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth the wood, and the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Let them be put to shame and perish, that man may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah. We looked at that last week. The self-existent one, art the most high over all the earth. What a picture we have here before us of the church of God. And it is God who protects His people and keeps His people amidst all the trials of life. Israel had all these nations who were confederate against them. They joined together, plotting to destroy Israel, to wipe them off the map, to quiet them forever if they could. And what a picture we have of the church of God. The world hates the church, does not understand. They're trying to take God out of everything now, aren't they? And if it were possible, they would remove God's people. They would destroy the Israel of God. If it were possible. And here before us, we see the heathen rage. All these nations, they're raging against God's people. We see the heathen rage, and they still do today against God's people, against His hidden ones. But let us never forget. Let us ever remember. And this will bring God's people great comfort, that He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. I want us to notice three words that are spoken of in our text here. Spoken of Israel, when this was occurring, but also we know that Israel is a picture of the church of God. Look at verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. This was my reading for Wednesday night, and this verse just came alive. Against thy hidden ones. The Hebrew word for hidden ones is defined as this: to hide. Treasure or store up, to be hidden, be stored up, to hide from discovery. To hide from discovery. God's people. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. God's people are hidden ones, beloved, and they are hidden in Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. God's people are hidden ones, and they're hid in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, and this is written to believers, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. When I get myself in trouble is when I start looking at what's going on in this world. Now, I'm not oblivious to it. I don't think we should be oblivious to the things going on. But when I get myself so worked up about what's going on, my eyes are off Christ. But Scripture here says, set your affection on things above. Set your affection on Christ, on Him, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid. Oh, there's the hidden one. Hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. We are hid in Christ, beloved. And we see here in Colossians that our life is hid with Christ. What safety for the believer. What safety. What security for the believer. They are hid in the self-existent one. No matter what comes, they are hid in Him. No matter what storms come, they are hid in Him. Hid in Him. Let the world rage all around us. Let those who come against us rage. The believer's life is hid in Christ. Hid in Christ. And we know from our studies that we've been doing in Colossians and from the Sunday school lesson that we started this morning that Christ is God. And Scripture declares that the believer is hid with Christ in God. We are hid in Him. Hid in God manifested in the flesh, the self-existent one, the one who became a man, who left the glories of heaven and died upon the cross to redeem His people from their sins. And what we have is hidden from natural man. Think of before the Lord saved you. What did we think about Christians? What did we think about Christ? I didn't want to be around Him. I didn't know anything about Christ except what I had drummed up in my imagination, but not what the Scripture declares of who He is. But God was pleased to reveal Himself. So what we have, and we know that the gospel is hid. It's a mystery that's manifested to the saints. We know that from our study in Colossians. That it's a mystery that's been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest. Now made manifest to His people. We who believe are hid in God, hid in Christ. And this is hidden from natural man, but God was pleased to reveal to we who believe. And we would never have known unless He revealed it to us. We would never have known. The spiritual life of the saints is hid from the man of the world. Natural man is alienated from God. And we who believe were at one time the same way. The world knows nothing about who God really is. Now man has drummed up in their imagination who they think God is. They think that God's waiting for them. But the God of the Bible rules supreme. And He does whatever He wills. And the armies of heaven and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. That's the God of the Bible. Not the God of man's... Henry Mahan used to call the God of man's imagination a peanut God because He can't do nothing. And that's true. He said, you remember those old carts where the peanuts, they used to have the peanuts and they'd roll around in them? When they would move the cart, that's what He was talking about. They can't do nothing. They just roll around. Nothing. Powerless. The God of man's imagination, but oh, the God of the Bible is the very one who God's people are hidden. We are the hidden ones. The hidden ones. And God has been pleased to reveal Himself to His people. The world knows nothing of eternal life in Christ. Knows nothing of the heavenly manna which we feast on weekly. And I ask, did you before the Lord saved you? No, we didn't, did we? But now, is it not all you desire? Is it not all you want to hear? Christ and Him crucified? Tell me about my King. Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. And this is why we preach the gospel. We pray that God would manifest it to His people, to lost sheep in desperate need of Christ. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. God must manifest Himself to us. And the believer is hid in Jesus Christ our Lord. All spiritual life is in Christ. All of it. Romans 16, verses 25 to 27. Romans 16, 25 to 27. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The gospel must be revealed. It's a mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The gospel is preached and proclaimed to all, isn't it? To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So the believer is hid in Christ. He's all our spiritual life. He's the head, the root, and the fountain of it. Outside of Christ, we have absolutely nothing. And because He is all this, because He is all this to the believer, then the believer is safe. Safe in Christ. Safe in Him. And can never be lost as He's hid in Christ. Hid in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because He lives, we live. He is the fountain. Christ is the water of life. Christ is the bread of life. And His people are hidden in Him. And because of Him, and because of what He's done, we have eternal life. Nowhere else. Not in any works that we have done. I brought out in Sunday school this morning, He's the Alpha and the Omega. So that means He's the beginning and He's everything in between too. Which means there's nothing to be added. Nothing. Nothing at all. Because the head lives, the body shall live also. Let's go back to our verse. Psalm 83, verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. Now God's elect people are not hidden from Him. As He has chosen them in eternity in Christ, He has redeemed them all. And He will glorify them one day, and they will stand in His presence clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now, we who believe are clothed right now in the righteousness of Christ, but one day we will stand before a holy and righteous God based upon absolutely nothing that we have done, but all because of what He's done. All because of what Christ has done. They are not unknown to Him. He knows every one of His sheep. Every single one of them. And He knows them by name. He knows them by name. And His people are the hidden ones. The hidden ones. Verse 18 says in the same psalm, that man may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Now the world will rise up against God's people. They always have. But God will protect them. God will protect them. They are the objects of hatred and persecution from the world. If you ever get a chance, read Fox's book of Christian martyrs. Make sure you got a box of Kleenex with you. It's incredible what some of the saints went through. But God's people are hidden by God and protected by God. Man can destroy the body, but not the soul. Not the soul. They are hidden by God and protected by God. They are His jewels and His particular treasure, whom He, the self-existent One, shall protect. Shall protect. He will hide and protect His people. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of Thy wings. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 57. What rest and comfort God's people find in Christ Jesus our Lord. Psalm 57, verses 1 to 3. And this is when David fled from Saul into, he's in a cave. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee. Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." Look at that verse. "Unto God that performeth all things for me." I ask you, beloved of God, has He not performed all things for you for your salvation? All things. Christ has performed them all. "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth." Now God's hidden ones are found where people of this world would least think. They are like the woman at the well who had five husbands. They are like Jacob, who was a liar. And David, who had a man sent to the front lines to die. They are like the publicans and the sinners who the religious world hated. They are like Paul, who was a persecutor of the church and a blasphemer. But yet, he was an object of sovereign mercy. God's hidden ones are we who believe. We who believe on Christ. We who are saved sinners. We who were born dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was us. But God, who is rich in mercy, rich, you could stack all the silver and the gold in the world. You could take all the wealth of the richest man in the world. And it does not compare to the riches of our great King. The riches. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. When did He love us? With an everlasting love. Before we loved Him, He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 1 to 6. It's all in Him. But God's hidden ones are found where people of this world would least think. And we are hid in Christ Jesus our Lord. What comfort for the believer. What security for the believer. The believer is hid in Christ. Now in Scripture, many names are given to God's people. They are called the flock of God, which shows us His intimate care and their sure supply for all their needs. And do we not find all our needs, both spiritually and physically, in Christ? Spiritually, everything. Does He not provide? And physically, does He not provide everything we have? Does He not give it to us? See, the world doesn't acknowledge that. They think it's all their own doing. But everything we have comes from our great King. They are called the branches, and Christ is called the vine, which shows us our vital union with Christ and how all our strength and all our fruitfulness comes from Him. And He goes on to say in that passage in John 15 that without Him we can do nothing. Nothing. See, religion tells you do, don't they? But grace preachers proclaim the One who's done it all. It's all in Him. It's all in Christ. God's people are called the elect because it was He who chose us according to His sovereign will and purpose and His pleasure. And this magnifies His sovereignty. God's people are also called the children of God and the household, which shows us His fatherhood. We who believe have one Father, and one Spirit, and one Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we should suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. God's people are called a royal priesthood. These are the hidden ones. They're called a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. Sinners are called a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. We are made holy by Christ. We are separated by Christ for His glory and for His use. God's people are called soldiers to fill us with courage. To fill us with courage. To fight the good fight of faith. And trust and rest in Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the captain and under whose banner we march forward. And here in our text, God's people are called the hidden ones, thy hidden ones. Here are some things I'd like us to ponder, which this implies. Why are God's people called hidden ones? Because He has put them out of the reach of their adversaries and concealed them in a place of safety. They are protected by God who is sovereign. They are ever under His watchful eye and always under His sovereign care. Their foes and adversaries may rise up, but God will protect His hidden ones. He will protect His people. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verses 4 to 6. Psalm 27, 4 to 6. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, in the time when adversaries, in the time when people rise up against us, He shall hide me, the hidden ones. He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle. Shall He hide me? He shall set thee up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Why? Because he protects his people. We give him all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He protects his people and keeps them out of the reach of his adversaries, concealed in a place of safety. Why are God's people called the hidden ones? Because he gives them quiet and peace, even in the midst of turmoil and sorrow. One of the things that Vicki and I have talked about since the Lord showed us grace, since he revealed himself to us in religion, we never had peace. Never. We were always having to do something. Always. Just continuously. And continuously feeling like a failure. Until God revealed himself. Until we looked to him. Oh, he gives us peace in the midst of turmoil and sorrow. Let's turn, if you would, to Psalm 23 and put your finger in 1 Peter chapter 1. Psalm 23. And this is a peace that passes all understanding. This is a peace that keeps the believers' hearts and minds. No matter what's going on, they have a rest and a peace. And it's only in Christ. It's nowhere else. It's nowhere else. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. The Lord, that is the self-existent one again. That's Jehovah. The Lord, the self-existent one, is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for anything spiritually. Now, there's some things that my flesh might want, right? And the Lord says no. Right? But as far as spiritually and anything, I have clothes on my back. Do you? We have food on our table. We have people who love us. We have wonderful, most important, all our spiritual needs. All our spiritual needs are in Christ. We do not want for any spiritual blessings. They're all in Christ. They're all in him. I shall not want. He maketh me. Now notice that. He maketh me to lie down. Now, naturally, we're gone. Left to ourselves, we're gone. But he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Oh, the green pastures of his word. He leads me beside the still waters, calm waters. He restores my soul, born again of the Spirit. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The more trials you have to endure in this life, the more of communion you shall have with our Lord and Savior. And this is true for all tried children of God. Sister Marge told me not long ago that she thanked the Lord for her cancer. She thanked the Lord for what she was going through. She said, "Brother Wayne, it's drawn me closer to Christ than ever before." Now she's beholding him. 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn there if you could. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, he gives us quiet and peace in the midst of turmoil and sorrow. 1 Peter chapter 1. God's people are hidden. The hidden ones. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 6 to 9. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, through now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Now, Sister Marge's faith is now sight. Right? She hoped in Christ. That which she hoped for, now she sees. Because if you see something, you won't hope for it. But we hope for that which we have not seen. Our hope rests in Christ, in Him alone, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see Him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can sinners, saved sinners, who are going through the turmoil of this world have joy? Because our hope and our rest is Christ. It's in Him. It's in Him. He keeps us. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So God's hidden ones are given peace and quiet even in the midst of turmoil and sorrow. Why are God's people called the hidden ones? Because they are not understood by the world. He who has been made to live unto God, born again by the Holy Spirit, lives a life that is incomprehensible to the natural man. They don't understand us. Not at all. They don't understand the things of God, and they don't think God, they think God's people are weak, and we are. He's our strength. He's our strength. We're weak in ourselves, aren't we? But oh, we trust and rest in the strength of another. And in our weakness, He is strong. But the world does not understand us. And I know. Just think of where we were before we were saved. And you're perfectly content letting folks go to church. But I just did not even want to be around anyone who was. And I was Catholic. And I was supposedly a good Catholic. Good Catholics go to church about once a year. Maybe twice. That's how I was. Christmas and Easter. Never read the Bible. Never had a clue what the Word said. Nothing. Nothing. Was quite content letting people just live as however they wanted to live. It's okay. No thoughts of spiritual things, unless I was in trouble. But oh, we who are the hidden ones, the world does not understand us. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And remember how we used to believe, how we used to think about Christians before the Lord saved us. First John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love. Now think of this, beloved. What a marvelous statement this is. What a marvel. Behold. This grabs our attention. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, upon believers. He's loved us with an everlasting love, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Because it knew Him not. You ever hear people say, drives me crazy when I hear this. You ever hear people say, well, you have to be a certain way because folks, they have to see Jesus in you. Right? We've talked about that before. They didn't even see Jesus in Himself. They didn't know who He was. Or they say, you need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. What? He's Almighty God. He can do whatever He pleases. He's a king. He's the king. The world knew Him not. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Absolutely sinless in glory. When we receive our promotion, we're in the presence of the King with no sin. What we shall be glorified. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We're being conformed to the image of Christ. For we shall see Him as He is. And the The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. The world does not understand the believer because they do not know Christ. And beloved, we are not of this world. We seek a better country. We seek a better country. And the gospel is good news from a far country. Good news from a far country. We're just strangers and pilgrims going through this world. And know this, that our loved ones, that our church family who've died, those who were in Christ, are now in glory. Sinless. Beholding the face of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, it's magnificent. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Why are God's people called the hidden ones? Because all the saints of God are not yet revealed. Not yet revealed. God has His sheep scattered all through this world, all through time. And He will save His sheep by the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit shall move and regenerate and save sheep. Bring them to Christ. This is why we proclaim the gospel. This is why we have one message and one message alone. Christ and Him crucified. He shall save His sheep by the preaching of the gospel, by the Holy Spirit regenerating. And they will. They will be born again. They will be. There's no doubt. They will be born again. And they will. They will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of His power. His power. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. God will manifest Himself to all the saints who are not yet revealed by the preaching of the gospel. Through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate in the flesh. God incarnate in the flesh. Look at this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Even the mystery. This is the mystery of the gospel, which has been hid from ages and from generations. We looked at that before. Think of all those countries that perished without Christ. The Egyptians, the Canaanites, Greeks, Romans just left in their idolatry. Left. What does God have to do for a man to go to hell? Just leave him alone. What does God have to do to save a sinner? Everything. Everything. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. Look at this marvelous statement. But now is made manifest to His saints, to His people, to His sheep, to His elect. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. This is the one we proclaim. This is the one we preach. Christ. This is the only one who can redeem your soul. Christ in Him, whom we preach. Warning every man. The gospel goes out to all, doesn't it? Warning every man. Flee to Christ. And teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And we looked at that those who are presented perfect in Christ Jesus are His sheep. The hidden ones. Now, what are some of the benefits that the hidden ones have? They have all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are justified. We who believe are justified before God, clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ, which He wove for believers as He fulfilled the law of God. Perfectly. We're made wise unto salvation and redeemed and ransomed by the precious blood of Christ. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Those whom God has chosen in Christ in eternity, those whom God gave to Christ in eternity, those who Christ has redeemed upon the cross by the shedding of His own blood, shall come to Him. Shall come to Him. Is there anything that catches God by surprise? Anything? Nope. Amen, brother. No way. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Look at Acts 15:18. No one unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. He knows everything. He knows whom He chose. He knows whom He has redeemed. He knows whom He has called. And He knows whom He will call. He knows whom He has justified. He has not done any of these things in the dark. None of them. He knows His people. And He loves His people from eternity with an everlasting love. Nothing is left up to the sinner for the salvation of their souls. No works of ours. The Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. We look to Him and live. Salvation is of the Lord. He knows what it costs to redeem you. He planned and purposed it. God knows. He planned and purposed it. And He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, to purchase the eternal souls of His hidden ones. Now, we do not know who the elect of God are. We preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel, but God knows. They are not hidden from Him. And remember this, beloved of God. Remember you who are one of the hidden ones. Remember this. He knows all your sorrow. He knows it all. All of it. He knows all your trials. Everything. He knows all your pain. He knows your sickness. He knows your thoughts. He knows the trouble that is yet to come. And He has promised, to never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Let's look at who keeps the hidden ones. Look at verse 18 in Psalm 83. Who is the one who has promised to never leave us? Who is the one who's promised to never forsake us? Who is the one who keeps the hidden ones? And who is the one we are hidden in? Look at verse 18. That man may know. Psalm 83, verse 18. That man may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Here again before us is the one who hides believers. Jehovah. The self-existent one. The one who is Most High over all the earth. And think of this, beloved. This is the one who redeemed us. This is the one who keeps us. This is the very one who's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Self-sufficient. He is self-sufficient. He is Jehovah. Self-sufficient. And He has all power and all perfection in Himself. He is the Most High God, Sovereign Lord, far above all false gods, above all kings, above all governments, above all that would exalt themselves and pretend to have power. He rules supreme. He is King not only over the land of Israel here in our text, but over all the earth and over all the nations of the earth, over all that know Him and over all who do not know Him. For His kingdom rules over all. In God's people find great comfort and rest. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Great comfort and rest in this fact that our God rules supreme, that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. We have a rest in Christ. Hebrews 4, and also put your finger in Psalm 37, and then we'll be done. Hebrews 4 and Psalm 37. Oh, what a rest we have in Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed, there is a key. For we which have believed do enter into the rest, or enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, and that rest is Christ, beloved. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some may enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Oh, what a rest we have. What a rest we have in Christ. For he that has entered into His rest, look at this, he also has ceased from his own works. Cast your works aside, they won't save you. The believer has entered into Christ, entered into the rest of Christ. He ceased from his own works as God did from His. Now folks will take that and say, "Yeah, you're a bunch of antinomians." No, we're not. No, we're not. The love of Christ constrains us from sin. We don't go crazy and go out and do whatever we want, because now we love our Savior. We love Him. But we're entered into the rest knowing that our works cannot save us. We've ceased from our labors for saving us. We're resting in Christ, in Him alone. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 37. And let the believer ponder this wonderful truth. The very fact that of God hiding His people shows you, shows us, shows we who believe that He means to keep us safe. We will never perish, for He keeps His saints and protects them and watches over them always, always. Psalm 37:23. Look at this. To 26. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. God's people delight in the ways of God. Our steps are ordered by the Lord, and we delight in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And we fall all the time, don't we? We fail all the time. But Scripture says, look at this marvelous truth. He shall not be utterly cast down. God keeps His people. He preserves His people. We're just sinners saved by grace, aren't we? And who's the one? Who's the one? For the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. That's the same. That's Jehovah. The same word we've been looking at. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. God will never forsake His people. Never. Nor is seed begging bread. He is ever merciful. Let us remember that. Let us remember that the Lord is ever merciful to us in Christ. Ever. All the time. We are daily loaded down with benefits. Daily. Daily. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. We who believe are blessed in Christ and Him alone. We preach the gospel. We preach the gospel and we're on the trail. God's preachers will tell you we're on the trail of God's sheep. Brother Henry said that years ago and it's so true. We are on the trail of the hidden ones of God. Preaching and proclaiming, and God does the saving. And God does the drawing. May He be glorified by the preaching of His Word.
Turn with me.